Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everyone, to the Deanne Burley Show. And this is Deanne live here on Sunday, May 22nd at 10:47 a.m. And welcome to everyone that's listening, and thank you for choosing to listen today. I've decided to come on here and talk about the situation of our failed healthcare system. I've talked about it before, but I wanted to emphasize something because of a report that someone on the internet had placed on Facebook. It was important, very important. It's in regards to vaccinations. The discussion was in the video attached, which is on my page here at Blog Talk. It talks about and exposes the fact that the pharmaceutical industry and the Center for Disease Control knew that the vaccination that your children are receiving for various diseases is causing autism. It seems as though from what I saw in this video, I had not totally gone through it as analysis as I normally would do, but I felt it was important enough to share. It seems as though it adversely affects young male children, and by a certain age, they start showing the attributes of having autism, and then later on, it's basically connecting the dots to them having full-blown autism from taking vaccinations. Now, these vaccinations are mandated. As soon as your child is born, as soon as they attend school, you have to have records and reports that these medications are given. You know, it's just like flu shots and shots for a pneumonia for seniors and things like that. There's a report on that as well. These vaccinations are containing things that adversely affect all of us. And I kind of go through this the way that maybe it's not being explained fully, the impact on how this is going on relating to this drug and medication that's being, given and serviced to us. Anyone want to call in at 718-508-9513, 718-508-9513. Let me go back some time ago. I guess it was the 1930s, 40s. Something I'm going to do a historical piece on for Black History Month in next February. I was going to do it this last February, but because of illness, I wasn't able to do what I needed to do this last February for Black History Month. But I want to talk here candidly about a person, an African-American woman, that has been renowned in science. And not from her being a doctor, a physician, or physicist, or anything like that, but because of her genetic material. It was a nightmare. It's kind of like a monster movie in a way. But this has been going on for years with African Americans, and it needs to be discussed here. First of all, the Black community has suffered dearly at the hands of the medical community. At first, through experimentation, we had the Tuskegee experiment. We had other cases where individuals were placed in a hospital and given high doses of radiation to see how cancer would develop and what radiation would do on the body. And that was in Ohio, where all the victims except for one that had been acknowledged had died horribly from this experiment that was done in the open, coming into the hospital, seeking treatment, given high levels of radiation. And then what had happened? They had died. All the patients had died, except for one. And the experiments go on and on and on. later on, experiments were done on people that were poor, individuals with the medical insurance cards and things like that were offered experimental drugs, studies, test studies. Well, after knowledge, a lot of them were receiving things that caused them also to have excruciating pain, situations with which may even led to death from these experimentations that were done because of their lack of money, lower end insurance, that is. And it goes on and on and on and on, these tests that have been done. And it's very similar to what happened in Nazi Germany during World War II when they had Joseph Mengele, the doctor of the death camps of the Jews. They had nothing to say either about what was going on, had no knowledge, and forced into death camps, which a lot of people today come forth and say stupid, dumb things that never occurred, but it did, because there were huge amounts of remains, and from their experiments, this is how we have the so-called vaccinations that we're getting from these experiments that were being done way back in World War II and beyond that, going further back. But World War II was the worst example, because millions and millions of people were set upon, placed in internment camps and in prison camps, and used as experimental rats to test these experimental drugs on. You also had the situation with Japan. Japan did this huge experiment on people. It was unit 732 or something like that. And they too did these experiments and used no pain medications, removing people's limbs and doing outrageous things. And the thing is that why? It wasn't on the basis of curing. It was more a basis of what can we do? What will this cause if we did this? Let's take it more than using a lab rat or a monkey. Let's try to experiment on this type of thing. These experiments, some of them may have been great breakthroughs, but others were not. Some of them made no sense whatsoever. But let's go back to the autism and the vaccination and the seniors getting vaccinated for pneumonia and flus and things like that. Well, the story I was going to talk about was this woman, Harrietta Locke. And you need to look that story up. It's really interesting. You can find it on YouTube. And in fact, if you just Google her name, Henrietta Locke, on the internet, you'll find a lot of information on her, because her body, her essence, her being is in everything we have today. Can you imagine a woman that was the daughter of a slave and a plantation owner? She was half black and white, and she moved from the South with her husband, and she happened to have some problems, female problems. She ended up going into a hospital and saw a doctor, and they decided to see what they could do. So they did a biopsy on her, and she left. And anyway, they had left this material in a petri dish. And for some reason or other, they decided to mix it with chicken DNA. And lo and behold, this stuff started growing and growing and growing, this material. Cells upon cells. Cells that could not even be killed. Just countless numbers of cells were being mutated and grown out of this petri dish nonstop. The doctor was astounded. So he was doing experimentation like this. So poor Miss Locke comes back in, and he says, "Oh my God, you have a tumor." Started doing further tests. Well, actually, moving more tissues in order to see if it would do the same thing. And the more tissue he removed, the more it did what it was doing before. And he found somebody that was different than anyone else that he had ever met that worked on his theory of mixing two different species. And you remember, I said a chicken and a human being, and mixing their factors of what was even not known at the time, DNA factors, between two different species, and that material that grew out. He was just dumbfounded by it and felt that this material could be used for all types of things, everything. So the first thing he did was he experimented on using this on polio victims. Now, my question was, where did polio come from in the first place? Well, I haven't done a study on that. But lo and behold, most of these diseases that I'm finding are coming out of laboratories. But neither left, neither here nor there, this doctor decided that this would be great to use against polio. They had a polio vaccine, you remember, recall. So anyway, this material was given, I would say, and I have still been checking on it, but to President Roosevelt, suffered from polio, as a means for him to get rid of the polio. And I'll tell you what happened later on as the story goes on. So then the gentleman came on the air. He was on What's My Line. His interview, if you look at the movie on YouTube, you'll see him talking about this experiment that he did, but never explained who the woman was, but that this tissue was growing out of control in the laboratory and being used for experiments. It's in the video. Now, Henrietta Locke made another, this time she was terminal. She was dying, folks, allegedly. She was not going to live that much longer. So anyway, she entered the hospital, and then according to what was told to her husband and family members, she died. Well, what happened later was just unbelievable, because then a nurse sent in by the doctor came to retrieve parts of her body, came there to find that the corpse had been totally violated, where most of the material, skull material, every piece of material was, her whole body laid open, and most of her body material was taken away, folks, by various doctors in the scientific community. They came in and scavenged her body to pieces, and the body was never returned to the family. Family didn't even know this was going on. All they knew, she went in there because of the fact that she had some type of growth or issue with her ovary. And she ended up going in there a couple times. The next thing, boom. So the next thing, you know, that this material was being used from everything, everything you could think on this planet, started having material, Henrietta Locke in it. Some of her material went to the moon, into outer space. Some of it was used, like I said, for the polio vaccine and other vaccines that you're listening about. And let's include the one possibly for autism. Can you imagine material from somebody from 1930-something being used in a vaccination that's going into your vein of your child? That gets a little deeper here, because I happen to work in a major laboratory. I was not a scientist per se, but I have been kind of a scientist all my life because I like to study and research things. And the thing was, my mother had cancer back in 1962, right after my dad had died. And so I was very much into cancer at a very, very young age. I would say about 10 or 11, I started reading about cancer because I was looking for a cure for my mom. Did not want her to die. I went back to the doctors at the hospital she was in, and I explained to them, I said, why can't you take my healthy cells and put them in her body after I had taken her cells in? See, the way it is accumulation of dead cells that forms cancer. So I was thinking about taking the dead cell tissue that would go in my body, and my antibodies would fight that disease. And then when it would fight the disease, it's related by blood. It could be transferred, my good, white cells could be transferred back to her to cure cancer. That's what I thought at 11 years old. I was highly read, well read in these areas. So when I got into this particular laboratory, they handled a cancer and AIDS research, which I was really interested in. And I just absorbed everything I could there, reading on what the scientific community believed. And this was during the time of Peter Gallo coming out with the AIDS epidemic. And I had my own viewpoint from what I saw in that lab of what was going on then. Well, with Henrietta Locke, this was extraordinary. Her body was gone, completely taken away, and all her cells used for recruit to medical communities all over the world to develop things in science and manufacturing and every kind of thing you can imagine her cells went into. And like I said, the major part of it was in regards to cures through vaccination. Now, the issue I had with this, when I looked at it, before I looked at the story on vaccination, I had a problem with them interjecting a material from another human being into another human being that is not made up of the same DNA, chemical base, blood type. Because, see, when you do this type of thing, you have to take into consideration that there's going to be a war in that person's body because, again, you're introducing a strange material in, so therefore the body is going to get inflamed and start fighting whatever this disease is or whatever it is that came in their body. Not curing whatever's going on, but fighting against what's coming in the body and causing the body to react in a very negative way. It's kind of like mixing AB negative blood or AB negative, let's say AB negative blood into a B positive blood person. There's going to be a reaction where it could cause death, because the blood types are not the same. So how can you take a genetic material from somebody and introduce it into somebody else, and plus it has strains of chicken DNA, which is not a human being, it happens to be a different animal species, and have your body not reject it in the first place. Then you take a baby, a child that is just fully developed, coming out of the womb, and introduce this type of material into their body, the body, I would say, would be inflamed, enraged to fight whatever it is, and la, 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 that would cause things like autism and various other diseases to impact on the person itself. They don't talk to you about that. Now, another thing I want to bring up, too, is because remember how they were going on talking about stem cell research. There was a great need for all these baby fetuses. Oh, they needed the umbilical cord because they had the essence of curing every disease man knew. Well, again, here's the same issue I have with that, and I don't know if somebody can disprove me on this. This is my theory. Maybe I will believe it, but most times not. I will not because, again, you're introducing a child. And every child's different. They have different blood types and different DNA and have been exposed to various things. So anyway, when you take that material and you introduce it into a host of another person that is different, then again, the body is going to build up a resistance and try to fight whatever it is that they're putting in that body. Thus not curing, thus causing a situation of rejection. You know, it's just like organ rejection. You hear the term organ rejection. If you put a heart in somebody that's not the heart of that person and expect that heart to operate and work, there's a lot of things you have to do to create a compatibility of that particular heart to make it work in another species, another person. I remember, I think his name was Timothy Clark or whatever. He was the first heart transplant that had a baboon or ape heart in his body. That was the most strangest thing that happened. He stayed alive, but it looked like he was dead. His outside body tissue and body organs were shutting down, and you could see that they were failing. But the heart still pumped on and on and on. Yes, the experiment did work as far as the heart vessel regenerating and staying in his body for whatever they did to make it compatible. But the rest of the body was deteriorating so fast, he was decaying right in front of people. And eventually, when he died, the heart was still beating, but he was dead. So again, you know, a lot of times they tell you all these wonderful things they can do. But then again, at what cost does it take? And how many people are lost in these causes that they have to check and try to figure out if it's going to work or if it isn't going to work? Now, another thing, too, in regards to these people that they were getting the stem cell from, I started seeing that stem cells were being used in the same person they came from. Now, that made logical sense to me because it's going from person and it's being cleansed and replaced in that person. So, yes, that might work. But if you take the stem cells from another individual, a child or whatever, umbilical cord or whatever you want to call it, and place it into somebody else, well, there's going to be a situation that the body is going to shut down trying to fight off whatever foreign material is coming in from a different species or human being. That is what is going on in FEL2 with autism. This is, again, this experiment has been going on for far, far too long. Will they take the drugs off the market? I doubt it, because every school child has to have a vaccination. And as I explained it to you so you can understand, the vaccination they're getting is from an African-American woman that died in the 1940s that had her cells mutated multiple levels of time using chicken DNA added in, which is now a designer drug of sorts that's supposed to cure all, and again, is it or is it not? It's just, you know, how we react is how this will end up in the future. So we keep saying that, oh, okay, well, you know, he's the doctor. I'm going to listen to this. Let me go do this. Let me grab these pills. You know, you don't know what you're taking. You don't know what you're underminingly doing to your body. So the bottom line is that somebody needs to clearly go to Congress and have them explain what is going on with this situation. Clearly, there is issues. Clearly, that somebody needs to come in and address. Clearly, we need to change our health care environment because, see, it's becoming a circus now, folks. After the Obamacare Act came into play, everything started changing around. Our health care was bad before, but at least some of us would come out alive and get a cure, and we felt great. So now, today, it's not the same. You have 20 and 30-year-olds in school dropping to the floor. Why? Because they have injuries from, you know, doing sports. Why? Because they basically have not been taking care of themselves. And the thing is that these kids and young people are dying out here. I was somewhere and I saw one young person was 23 years old, just fell to the ground. Somebody had to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to them. And the reason why, again, could have been from a vaccination they had received as a child. Could have been taking a flu shot. Now, flu shot's the same thing. I get called, doctors always say to me, Have you had your flu shot? Have you had your pneumonia shot? And I say no. Now, why don't I take those? Because the vaccine that they give you for flu shot happens to have a concentrated level of the last flu that was out. So, like, say, for instance, they had swine flu out, so they have a high concentration of swine flu in that shot. So when you take it, it's supposed to build your antibodies and it's supposed to fight against swine flu. So when the theory is that when you come in contact with it again, it will not be able to circulate into your, you know, freezing. It's a nightmare, folks. It's just totally, truly a nightmare what is going on in our healthcare. The way it's being approached for a senior. I had a very bad car accident. I don't want to keep talking about it, but it bothers me because I'm going to have to go back and forth to the doctor trying to get cures, but evidently there is none. And to me, in 2016, we should have advanced medicine, not advanced computerized medicine, because advanced computerized medicine is just a document that they place on the computer so that they would have all this information on diseases. But it is not basis of cure, because the basis of cure now is just pills that they can give you, morphine, narco, things like that, pain reliever, just for you to relieve the pain, but for the disease to advance and not for them to continue to do their research paperwork. It goes in a central bank where the information can be obtained and looked at by other people in peer groups. Now, again, they have the HIPAA law, but again, this stuff supersedes the HIPAA law because, see, what they're saying is that we can take your DNA or whatever kind of material, use it, but it doesn't require the situation with HIPAA law because we're not actually going in and asking anybody about you. There's also the other issue of how they treat the elderly. Elderly is treated like garbage now. We're not needed. When you get to be 40 years old, you're scoped already out of the system. It's kind of like the movie The Time Machine. You know, after a certain age, you're not needed anymore. You're ready to get somebody in younger so they can, basically make this thing work. So the emphasis here is that our healthcare system is going to poverty in the United States. It's horrible. It's worse than ever before. Now, people can point the blame at Obamacare, but that's just one part of the catalyst because, see, it's the language that's written in these things, give guidelines and backing to insurance companies to refuse you as getting medication and help that you need. It's not all in the medication. You know, it could be a neutral situation, a nutrition issue. I had talked to Dr. Ernest Steinglass a long time ago and talked to Peter Duesenberg. Peter Duesenberg was the one that worked with Peter Gallo on the AIDS epidemic, and he said the same thing. The people that were taking their cocktail to get rid of AIDS were getting the AIDS virus. So when you took the cocktail, it gave you full-blown AIDS. And the cocktail contained 26 known diseases. One of them was mono. So how does mono equate into AIDS? So people taking this this concoction, their body was already weakened. Their immune system was already weakened. So when they went around to try to get better, they were getting worse because they were getting more and more within this shock of the AIDS virus itself, so they rotted away. Similar to even the bubonic plague. In fact, if you look, I had asked when I was working in a laboratory, what is the symptom? What is this stuff? And they were saying there was some type of purple, like a boil or something appears on skin. And I was like, whoa, wow. So I started researching that about the bubonic plague. And lo and behold, the plague had the same type of deal. It was a different type of boil, but that was the beginning of the bubonic plague. And from what I read, historically, the bubonic plague was a created disease to get rid of millions of people they didn't want, the same as they did now. Now, interesting enough, I read a report, too, that was astounding that the psychic, what is his name, Nostradamus, he was a physician, too, and he was going around curing people. And he had to do it in secret because if he cured too many people, they would call him a witch, and he would have been burned. His father was a Levi or something like that, but he knew cures and for disease and ailments in addition to his psychic ability to understand what was going to happen in the future. These are things out there that I find fascinating. That's why I love looking into history and facts and material that people don't normally look at, because there's a lot of information there that can keep you alive and keep you knowledgeable of what's going on. Now, in my case, I went in the hospital after having this car accident, and first time I went in there, I saw a nurse practitioner. My clothes were never removed. They never checked to see if I had any contusions or anything on the surface part of my body. They took an x-ray of my knee and took a chest x-ray. Said, oh, I'm okay. Gave me a couple painkillers. And even though my blood pressure was like 200 over something, they just shipped me out home. But then I had a bad experience because that same bunch of people that was in there called security on me because I had questioned the way that they were treating me. I had a major car accident. I hit a tree. Tree snapped in half. I was in the middle of a frozen pond. And my right chest breast area was a hole filled 15 by 16 centimeters. That's the whole breast was filled up with blood. And nobody did anything on it. Just like when I had my car accident, the first one, going back 2011. I was, you know, deemed as okay. And then the one in 2014, these are people hitting me. I'm not hitting them. A Mack truck hit me the first time. And, you know, people, I walked away from Mack truck accident. Can you imagine that? And people say, oh, yeah, she's okay, whatever. You know, like I'm Wonder Woman. I'm not Wonder Woman. I'm a person. I bleed, too. And then the second accident was these kids. One of them was high on drugs, hit me in the back where I was at a stop sign with a friend of mine, and the impact caused me to have a brain bleed. Now, that was even worse because when I ended up going to the hospital, that hospital, the first one I went in, didn't handle that type of situation. So they took me all the way over to another hospital. And that hospital at that point in time was pretty damn good until now. So then I decided that I wanted to go home. I did not want to have them to do anything. So anyway, I wanted to go home. I wanted to go home. And anyway, they decided that they were to, you know, do that surgery. So I left the first time. I went back because I had a blood bleed. And they did catch it. They said I had a blood bleed injury in my head. But I wanted to get a second or third opinion because I was scared to death. I never had surgery before in my life. Brain surgery. And a head injury. Concussion. Now, it was taken very lightly, as a matter of fact, by the physicians and everybody, oh, you know, whatever. But to me, it was serious. And I think to most people, it would have been serious to have an operation on their brain. So then when I was in the hospital, folks, the thing was amazing. I was in there, and the doctors actually were trying to help me. They were really doing that until it came to that good old day when they came to the third week I was there. And they were going to have to send me to a rehab facility. I came back. I ran out of insurance. So they couldn't do anything else, and they weren't going to pay my bill. And then the insurance wasn't going to pay my bill. My bill ran out. So your life runs out and your insurance runs out, because next thing I know, I was just grabbed up and thrown in a car and taken directly over to hospital, to my house where I was staying, and dumped on the curb. And they drove off. I could not get into the rehab center, so I had to fend for myself. At one point, I couldn't hear out of my ear. I felt like it was a vacuum of water or whatever. I went to the hospital, wouldn't treat me because I didn't have any active insurance. This went on for months until the insurance kicked back the money back in it. Well, for months, I went to the emergency room. They did nothing. And then that caused my whole system to get worse. And then what happened was I started getting worse and deeper into the sickness. Now, if you look at that movie with Will Smith with the concussion and Iron Man guy, you think about what happened to me. I had a concussion. I had brain bleed. I had to fight to focus. I had to fight to try to go to sleep at night. I was in pain. The room would swirl. I had pain in my joints then. I had, what is that called, fibromyalgia, all types of weird pains going on. But I had no doctor or nothing for months because I had no insurance. And then it affected me, the ability to have me be able to walk normally. So then I ended up in a wheelchair. And then that accident behind that one is the second one where this guy hit me. And like I said, the third one that happened was the tree, and I got hit. I hit black ice, and I hit the tree, and ended up in a frozen retention pond. And my cure is nothing now, because I go in and they just look at everything as being normal. My ankles and legs are swollen to no return. I can hardly breathe sometimes at night because at one time I was vomiting blood, and they told me that didn't mean anything. I had blood coming out of my nose, and they put a balloon in. They said, oh, that doesn't mean anything. It's all about the insurance card, how much insurance you got, what the leverage of insurance is about. They're not interested in you and me surviving. The whole thing is that medicine is turned into a scientific portal of a laboratory and not geared to curing anyone. Because, again, if I'm out in the street, I'm seeing 40-year-old people on chains, and I see 20- and 30-year-old kids in colleges dropping dead, and kids 15 and 14 and soccer matches and stuff keeling over. There is something vastly wrong with our medical system, and these vaccinations must have something in it because I'm seeing more and more young people just flip over, and next thing they're gone. I hope somebody listening out there would get it. Because, you know, if you have a child yourself, you know, or a loved one, you don't want them experiencing that. Would you want to experience that yourself? And then could we carve it into a nursing home so that somebody else can steal all of whatever else you have in your wealth in your home, and your family won't get anything because everything is being stolen and ripped off? In fact, I talked to some people the other day, and they think the United States is a rip-off nation. They're saying it's affecting the economy all over the world, globally. Markets are shutting down. All kinds of things are going on. Why we're clouded in vision, just trying to make that one check for the next day, and that's what it is. You don't even have enough to survive to pay for it moving forth in your life. All intertwined to health care, health services, intertwined into policing mechanisms, in regards to the judicial system, all of that. If you have all of those things that are well needed in the society and they all have been corrupted, what chance do we have? And heaven forbid if all of us stood together, because, see, we're so busy looking at black people, you know, saying that they Black Lives Matter and worrying about, you know, well, they shouldn't have that group. They can have every group that they want. You have any group you want. And we don't say nothing about that. So why are you upset that we have Black Lives Matter? Because they do. Maybe not to you, but they matter to us. You cannot go out in your community and walk the streets. Why? Well, is it not because somebody thought up that all black people's kids were gang members, that they congregated two on the street, so immediately you had to send law enforcement in to chase them away? Was it not a systematic plan to remove from playgrounds and things, baseball hoops and stuff, and say that everybody playing on baseball hoops that happened to be black or Latino or gang members and place them in a situation where they had nothing to do. And Lord come into the area, and those drug lords were not black people, because black people never brought no drugs across any seaway on their own, on a boat. Now, they might tell you some stuff like that, but the truth is, we don't have control of naval vessels, do we? Do we have control of that? Do we have control of flying planes through skyways without custom agents coming after us and stuff? Do we have control of that? Do we actually grow the drugs that come in? I heard it came out of Afghanistan and over in the countries in South America and Mexico. That's where the drugs came out of. And I don't remember us controlling those territories, do you? And that's interesting enough, through Mercury Press with Webb, Gary Webb, he stated that drugs were coming into the CIA and they were selling to the poor urban communities, and he got, you know, jumped up and said something about black people didn't say anything. But mainly it came from Webb. And Webb, because Webb complained, next thing he's gone. It was one other black guy and one other professor out of Wisconsin came forth. All of them quiet now because, you know, DEFCON 5 was out of. Because they were telling the truth, the drugs were going in the black community. So what happened was, you take the industry away, you take the jobs away, offer up nothing at all, nothing for people to survive on, give them a little bit of food stamps and welfare. Then you get on TV and say, oh, they're collecting all this stuff, but then you took away their jobs and took away the way that they could afford to live, take everything away from them. So then the drug dealer comes on the street, and the only way you can make money is sell drugs. And then when you sell those, they make sure that somebody shoots you down so they can get somebody else, and it's a lot cheaper than that other guy, so that they can keep the circulation of drugs going, because that way they can control the black and white community, because everybody is all drugged up and they don't know what the hell is going on. Now, that goes to the marijuana situation. Now, a lot of you folks don't want to hear this. They say marijuana is a great cure for every type of disease on the planet, marijuana. Well, yeah, if you're just a little stoned out of your mind and don't realize your pain, yeah, I guess it is a cure. It doesn't cure anything. It's weed. It's the same. It's just something that you smoke that will get away from the pain for some people. And I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me, because not only is it weed, but it is a fungus. And I'd be damned if I want fungus in my system, because I'm allergic to fungus. I don't like fungus, and I have a huge allergic reaction to mold. Mold and fungus are side by side. So people are smoking fungus, and they're enjoying their fungus. And because they're smoking fungus, they think somehow, because it might make their mind in another plane or place, that they don't have to deal with reality, which is right there in their face. It's still there. It gives them a grandiose mindset that they are beyond and better scope than anybody else, because they can see clearly, but they don't see clearly because they're in another level of the matrix, so they don't understand clearly what is going on in the functioning world we're in. So this is the reason why we have an issue going on in this country, because a lot of the even politicians are weed smokers. So if you got them in there smoking weed, heaven forbid what they might decide to do. But they're passing the bills for weed. We have to have more weed. And the thing is that now they're manufacturing it, and it has other things in it. You remember GMO? Well, the weed they put out now has other chemicals in it. Now they got some kind of new kind of weed on the street. It makes people totally crazy, hallucinating, just like LSD. But that won't stop you, because you're going to still take the weed. You got cigarettes and the weed now. So now what? Doesn't cure anything. People still got cancers. People are still dying. It has to do with nutrition. It has to do with the situation of what we're eating, and the food that we eat doesn't have nutrition in it. The water's become deadly dangerous because nobody's working on curing that. Instead, they're working on something and give them a grant so they can get grant money from somebody else so their organization can still flourish. I am just totally appalled to what's going on in this country in 2016. And then to say even worse, is I'm walking around and see more and more cameras and satellites and hidden face recognition software out there watching you every move. And don't you understand or can't you figure it out that how are you a combat terrorist when you're just going to work? I have a poor guy in the street that's combat terrorist when he's just got a pot out there asking for change. How did we become combat terrorists? I thought we were looking for something outside, not inside, to be terrorists. Because the thing is, the homegrown terrorists during September 11th, which I reported nonstop, happened to be from the CIA. And the hell, they did not come from over there in foreign countries the way you think. If they were, they were recruited, and they recruited by, see, the way it worked was Bin Laden was a CIA man from the beginning. Remember, folks who don't know, he went over to Afghanistan, and he was one of them that put the landmines all around that Lady Diana was fighting to get rid of to make sure the Russians didn't come over the border from Afghanistan. That was his mission through the CIA. After he was doing that, still, he was raised by the Bush family because his father and uncle both blew up in a plane accident. So he was kind of almost an orphan, so he was raised by Bushes. So then he got older, and he was with the Bin Laden family, and Bin Laden family had a Bin Laden group, and Bin Laden group were engineers that were involved with building the World Trade Center. Now, you may not know this. I know this for a fact. The gentlemen that built the World Trade Center used them as contractors, and they came in and they laid out the plan for the setting up the seven tower buildings, the Bin Laden Group. They also were in Boston, and one of the family members was involved with importing drugs, date rape drugs. They were bringing in huge cartloads just before 9/11. The date rape drugs they were bringing in were being used and put in nightclubs all over. You know, you talked about Bill Cosby. Well, this is a drug. This is the stuff. In fact, if you look at the movie with Wesley Snipes in it, which was New Jack City, they talk about it in that movie. Date rape drugs they were putting out in New York and all over the place. Rufinols were all over the place. Then during September 11th, they even had a drug manufacturing company coming out of one of the Middle Eastern countries. Powderized drugs were being put in tablet form by this company here on the American shore. Boy, I was reporting this stuff like nobody else's business. This black chick over here, they don't know nothing. And all these so-called CIA, FBI agents, or whoever was supposed to be looking into stuff, overlooked everything that had reported. And people listening to the show didn't understand. It was not a show like Alex Jones or anyone else. I had the real, true science people, Nobel Prize winners on, individuals that were in the World Trade Center that saw what was going on, informants, whistleblowers. Everyone that was involved one way or another with seeing, doing, being somewhere near the equation was on my show, on RBN, and going forward. Because I was showing you the forensic evidence of who was involved. Even Chomsky was on my show for IIT. Sure was. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is that I'm trying to tell you something here, and it doesn't seem to be fitting or making sense to, you know, be evaluated correctly here in the United States. So we're looking for outside terrorists. We're looking for homegrown terrorists, which is us, the people, common people going back and forth to work. Poor guy in the street with the coin thing out asking for coins because he can't get a job. Or the kids on the street that are standing on corners dancing and singing trying to make some money because they don't have jobs. Because you know why? Because this racism thing is still here. We don't hire black. We hire what we want based on color. And what is compatible to our eyes. That's what we hire. We don't hire based on saying, let me give that guy a chance like they did in the 20s and 30s. Oh, let me let this guy in. My dad, Dan Burley, he rose to fame because he was a newspaper boy. Then he went to the Defender and wrote a column. And then from there, he launched another column, came out of there, came and went to New York, opened up the New York Age with S.B. Fuller, then co-owned it, by the way. Then he went over and took the reins of managing editor at Amsterdam News in New York. He had a radio broadcast. And then he went and flourished all over the country, syndicating columns and information, entertainment all over the world. They'd taken the first UFO tour overseas under Bob Hope, all black, star-studded. And the thing was, he did this because he had a dream, and he also went before King and went out there and decided to create an international impact, which gave a lot of people, including some of these politicians who are listening. Do you remember my dad getting you in office? Go back and remember what happened and how you got in there, because it sure as hell was because you got press, and you did not get it from the regular press. You got it from Dan Burley. So the bottom line is this. If you don't have media, you have no cause, no representation, you have no name. If you do not have the ability to think for yourself and decide to do something, no matter if somebody tells you can't do it, I mean something successful that would make money for you and your family, you do your dream. Life is very short, very short. We're so busy fighting with each other and our family. Oh, I hate him, I hate you, you did this, you did that. Waste time on things that you could be doing, accumulating wealth and presence in the world so the next generation, your family, won't have it that hard. We are so well taught by the system to bow down to the system. It's scary. I looked at this police officer. I had gone to him because the situation was going on with the schools over there in Bolingbrook and Will County. Corruption out there is just really, it's deep. I'm kind of questioning whether or not Drew Peterson is innocent or not here because of the things I'm seeing what's going on. So see, I'm a former deputy too. And it's not what you think. So the bottom line is this. If we don't treat each other better, then this society is getting ready to go down. The medications that you receive are deadly dangerous. There are chemicals in it that are chemicals that are things that you use to even wash your wallboard off or put the adrenal in your steak. All these different chemicals are in chemicals you're taking, putting your mouth in your body, which is not natural to your body. I'm saying this to you, and I'm talking to myself, because right now I'm not addicted to medicine. I am a victim of medicine. I'm trying to get myself cured. I can't find it through a doctor because doctors are on this thing. Oh, no, let me see how much money she left in there. Oh, no, we can't do this. Let me call insurance. Oh, no, okay, no, we can't do this, da-da-da-da. So when I go in the hospital, last time we went in, they said, oh, yeah, we're going to keep you. And then 2 minutes later, after they checked my insurance, oh, no, we can't. And I experienced that before. I had a HMO when I was pregnant with my third child. I was in an area that did not cover the HMO. I had to go to a different area. So I went into labor. Went to the hospital right close to me because that's where the ambulance would take me. Went in there and they came in the room. Oh, yeah, you're in labor. We got to have to move quick. You go out of the room for a few minutes, check the insurance, found out the insurance did not cover the hospital. Oh, no, you're okay. You can go home. You're all right. There's nothing wrong with you. Just because my insurance would not cover that hospital, I almost lost my life. I came home. This is in the 80s, 88 this happened. Came home in excruciating pain because my water had already broke. They sent me home. I had no one. I was going through a divorce. I had nobody. No one. Other than my two children. One was still a baby and one was a little older, but that's all I had. In pain. And my good friend Carol and her husband. I laid there in pain, and I had a fever. called up the doctor. He prescribed Valium. I said, I'm not taking this. I'm pregnant. Why would I take some kind of, you know, harmful drug? So I laid there in pain, folks. Refused to take that medication. It wasn't going to cause a deformity in my child or anything. The drugs are dangerous. My mother taught me that. But she had cancer. My mother was a nurse at one point. She never went back for chemotherapy. She went in the hospital. They said she had cancer at 62. I told you that. Never, ever went back in the hospital to get chemotherapy and cured herself and lived from 62 to 84. With them giving her 6 months to live. And not one little form of cancer came back. But then our food was different then, because at that point they didn't put all the Monsanto crap in it. They didn't have all this stuff we have in food back then. They now have polluted the food so bad that what you're eating and drinking is cancer agents. So anyway, in this huge amount of pain, I was in excruciating pain, I started calling ambulance services. I called CAF. Nobody would take me to the hospital at all because the hospital was 20 miles away and they were scared I was going to go and labor in their vehicle. So I had a Volkswagen, semi-automatic, on the fuel that were left at the time. It was kind of like my landmark car. My other car was out of commission, so I had to drive myself in labor 20 miles to the hospital on the expressway. I get to the doctor's office, which is so-called cute HMO. This is how bad this was back then. And this was when Bill Clinton was on the air talking about we need to have this alternative health care, which is the same thing as Obamacare. They were trying to push it that. Same thing. I'm sitting there in the hospital, folks. And the doctor looks at me. He said, oh, no, you're okay. You can go home. You're not in labor. You go home. I'm on the table. Because they put the table back, I went in and started having the baby just as they moved the table back. While the doctor had told me I was not in labor and the baby wasn't going to come for another week. And this is in the 80s. You think it was bad now? It was bad then? It ain't going to get no better. So anyway, my child had a mark on his head from that. Because the table had to be pulled out and his head hit the table. Now, could I sue or do anything? No, hell no. The same old circuit of operators and the same circuit of operators now. You got the pharmaceutical industry. Back then, they were not as bad as they were because you had the neighborhood pharmacy. They got rid of the neighborhood pharmacists and got rid of them and made these pharmaceutical stores that came up, let's say. I'm not going to name any names. All those mom-pop pharmacies that were making drugs for you that were actually good, they're all gone. So now you have this standard drug company that makes standardized medicine that doesn't weigh out and check it out to being for your particular weight and body type or anything like that. They just dump pills on you and you take them. And the pills are not necessarily the pills that you should be taking because what it is, it's based on your income and also type of insurance you have or what kind of chemicals you have in those drugs. They tell you, oh, well, this is over-the-counter drugs. Okay, that has a little smaller, less advantage in the situation with the chemicals that you would get in the next level, which is the off-brand. Off-brands are made up of chemicals totally different than the name brand. So when a doctor prescribes you medicine, a lot of times you're supposed to take name brand because that's got the real chemicals in it. You're taking a lesser brand, it's got other stuff in it, which could cause you to have allergic reactions or issues because you're not taking medicine that you really need for your illness. And I'm not going to tell you this because there's money in the back door for them because they get paid in the back door from the medicine that you take. They get paid. They have checked for the pharmaceutical industry every time they write a prescription. So the bottom line is we're being robbed of her help intentionally. It's a money-making game. Lawyers, the same thing. Lawyers are not working for us. They're working for the insurance companies. When I got hit with that by that Mack truck, the wheel screeched to a halt before it hit the back of my car. This is Mack truck. And not only that, they were supposed to send the Illinois Transportation in to evaluate the car to see if there was any problems with it so it would not go back in the road because it was a highway vehicle that was being used by state operatives that had contracts with the state. You know, they didn't do none of that. None of that at all. And right now, last thing I heard, they was still looking for the driver. They can't locate him now. Now, this case was 2011, and it's still circulating in court. And then the lawyer I had, for no reason whatsoever, didn't ask my permission, pulls the case out of court, and tells me he's going to refile it, and then gave it to a different law firm without my permission. This is stuff. My granddaughter gets abused at the school by so-called one peer group, which I can call a gang. I talked to multitudes of people. They say, oh, they didn't arrest them yet. But Will County and Bolingbrook work hand in hand. They ain't going to do nothing. But yeah, they're saying Drew Peterson's trying to kill somebody. Come on now. Is it maybe you're trying to kill Drew Peterson because he might rat out something? You don't want them, the other people, the public, to know about Will County prosecutors and what they're really doing? Interesting enough, when I was down there, I saw this police officer in a squad car. And I swore it was the same officer about 2 days ago tried to run over me in my wheelchair in Chicago. These people are evil and they're treacherous. And the thing is, they have no soul. They have no beginning, no soul, nothing. They function only for money. You are the perk. It doesn't matter who or what you are, your perks. They're not needed. Don't let them play. You will be told that you are, but you're not. I remember this woman came to me, and she was living in one of these areas, these towns, and her son, Jason Burnett, young white man, 20-some years old, murdered. He's trying to survive. He had a girlfriend who was pregnant, had his first baby the day he died. When he died, his girlfriend gave birth. He was stopped countless numbers of times by the police department because he was young. If you have long hair back then, then you were the first one to be pulled over. First it's blacks, then it's Latinos, and then if it's long-haired teenagers that they know and don't have any money, hey, you're stopped. I've seen it all from both ends of the equation. It's just ridiculous. It's not about, protecting and serving the law. Because, again, if they weren't enforcing and protecting the law, they sure as hell would have done more for my granddaughter instead of her walking out with a concussion from going to school. But needless to say, this is what our society is offering up today. Jobs now all paying the same wage, like we're in some kind of community in some type of Soviet country. We got a mixture country of both liberal, democratic, republic, fascist, Nazi, all running in one time United States at one time. We accept it. When you're working as a street cleaner and you're getting $10-$12 an hour, and then you work as a computer operator or whatever for $12 an hour, that should tell you right there where we're going. And everything's outsourced. Everything. Even civil rights activism is being outsourced, sent somewhere else. I went to one place, oh no, we're outsourcing. What does that mean? How do you outsource civil rights? all the millions of lawyers that are graduating from school, do we have one or two of them getting together and say, let me practice for free here and let me kind of work this out with these agents that are trying to do something to adjust this thing that's going wrong in this country? Instead, they intern with these big corporations. But then again, the help that we need in the middle way is not happening. In fact, there's an article I just received that the middle class is shrinking away. It's not existing anymore. Ain't no middle class. So what do we have anymore? Do we have anything here anymore? It's really a shame. I'm trying to see if I can see this article that someone has sent me about what's going on. Hold on, one second. I'm not sure. I saw other individuals too, like Bernie Sanders. I got a report from him. It says the media may not want you to know, acknowledge it. Bernie Sanders is building up an incredible momentum right now as we approach a historical presidential primary. So I guess he's moving, trying to move forward in it. Because, again, I wouldn't even trust the results. You have the mainstream media. Who's moving forward and who's not? I got a note from the people over at ACLU that helped them. I'm not helping them because they won't help me. And so this is the whole thing, folks. If they have these not-for-profit agencies and entities out here and ask me to help them on the air and stuff and they won't help, when I ask for an attorney to help me with this thing with the school and they can't provide that, the ACLU, and they're asking me to give them money, I'm not going to give them a dime. Why should I? Why should I support something that doesn't support me? We are in turmoil right now. Turmoil. Healthcare down the tubes. Legal aid down the tubes. Jobs down the tubes. Preventive measures to keep criminals and things from going on the street, out of range, out of the mix, out of everything. We have nothing. And can imagine a whole country outsourced. So if we outsource everything, who's going to be working here? Nobody. So if we're going to have millions of people with no work because everybody's outsourced, what do you think is going to come in the future? I have reports everything's being outsourced to India. So if it's being outsourced to places like India and we ain't got no jobs to replace the outsource, then what are we supposed to do with these people? And heaven forbid the ones that are on drugs, especially even the weed has. If you get off the weed for 2 seconds, what are you going to do if there's no weed out there? That's why they keep showing you zombie movies, folks. Because these people are going to act like the Night of the Living Dead when they can't get their weed on or whatever the hell they're on. They're going to be running around out here. You're going to hear, because their brains are going to be fried because they're taking all these substances. And if there's not none available, then what do you think is going to be on the street? Then they can bring martial law in and shoot you all down like dirty dogs. That's what the plan is. The obvious right there before your eyes. And mixed, all they had to do was create another false flag theme, and then it's going to go on. And that's coming real soon. Because they can't do anything different than what they've done before. And that's why history is important, because you see the same pattern every time throughout history, them doing exactly the same thing with the same outcome. But back then, people's minds were not totally mind-controlled because there was a whole lot of people on drugs, not like they are now. Not a whole lot of people under mind control looking at stuff on TV. People mind controlling all this stuff because as long as they know they got your mind and will and soul, they don't have to worry about you. You're just easy pickings. So anyway, I just need to come on the show to talk about the situation of autism. And like I said, view that video. Understand that the materials going in these drugs that they're manufacturing for vaccinations, and even once you're digesting, are all part of a diabolical system. Not there to cure. It's a hinder to make you more plausible to get an end. And thank you very much for listening. This is Deanne Burley. My contact me is DANNE.BURLEY@gmail.com. D is in David, ANNE is in Edward, period. B is in boy, URLEY@gmail.com. You can call me at 7630-863-9971. 630-863-9971. Good night and peace. God bless.